Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that. We don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
This is a blue-collar boom.
The Democratic Party is a center or center-conservative party.
You only arrest for the purpose of dealing with a felony that's committed, and I don't count drunk driving as a felony.
I think your viewers are entitled to hear my argument without two bullies jumping on everything I say.
What better than a violent protest to justify immediate gun confiscation? You can imagine, actually, that some of the press already had tomorrow's columns pre-written.
How many times do I have to prove a man is a liar before he isn't featured any longer as the main witness for all you people in the press?
Yeah, sorry, Rudy, but you're just wasting your breath there. I'm just pointing that out. Good morning to you. Welcome back into the show. Hope everybody's having a great start to their Tuesday morning.
Absolutely.
A little chilly out there, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. How about that? And we're going to get
everywhere.
It again this weekend, maybe?
Maybe. A little bit of snow in the forecast.
I heard Dave Murray kind of hesitating on that one. He's like, a whole lot of things have to happen here. I guess they're probably a little gun shy after what happened last Friday.
Yeah, Friday was a bit of a
That's true. People are canceling plans. Businesses are closing.
Oh, my gosh. I got home with enough time, like fairly early, because everyone's, you know, trying to, like, yeah, you got to, everyone get home. And of course, that's the day Doug's like, well, I need to get this done and this done and this done. And I'm like, we're going to be those idiots that are out running errands.
Stuck
and
in
it's
the
gonna,
ice.
Yeah, it was going to be, you know, awful. And then it was fine.
It rained.
Yes, it
rained.
It rained.
So I'm thankful we got our things done.
We got enough sleet to have a few icicles dripping off the car. And that was about it. So I guess they're a little more hesitant to forecast this far out for Friday. Here's something I've completely missed this morning, and I'll just admit to that because it flew under my radar. There are a number of schools closed today. I'm guessing there was, of whatever snow we got yesterday in some of the rural areas down south, and it looks like a few in Lincoln County and mostly to the south of St. Louis proper, there are schools and activities that have been canceled today. I was unaware that it got that bad anywhere.
I knew there were some traffic problems last night when it started to fall, at least in the south. So,
well, that's going on. So we'll be keeping an eye on that for you. You know what else is going on? You might have listened to a little bit of that right at the top here. Joe Biden, I will still say presumptive Democratic nominee at this point, unless something dramatic happens, now is jumping on board with the open border things, talking about jailing ICE agents or firing them if they do their jobs. This is probably the most shocking soundbite I have for you today, other than Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez telling you that you didn't build that, you don't deserve that. Listen to Joe Biden. Go to cut number 19, please.
So how do you change the culture?
You change the culture by saying you're going to get fired. You're fired if, in fact, you do that. You only arrest for the purpose of dealing with a felony that's committed, and I don't count drunk driving as a felony.
Do you know that the Obama administration, judges under the Obama administration, issued orders of deportation for more people than the Trump administration could even hope to deport? And guess who has to carry out those orders? Immigration and Customs Enforcement. So what you just heard was a man who wants to be president of the United States telling you that if he becomes president, he'll fire any ICE agent that does his job. That's it. That's the logic of the left in this country today. That's the logic of Joe Biden. He'll fire any ICE agent that tries to deport someone without a felony. And if it happens to be a felony DUI, that doesn't count either. I think that's interesting. I mean, if you or I got a felony DUI, just out of interest, you not only more than likely, assuming you got convicted and jailed for it, lose your ability to vote and probably your freedom. In fact, you'd probably get locked in a small cage like the kids at the border they used to cry about all the time. I suspect that's what would happen to you. But in this case, he doesn't think that's a reason why somebody who's here illegally, who got caught for felony DUI, should be deported back to wherever it is that they came from. That's what Joe Biden said yesterday. So now he's going to have to walk around and defend that one because, this president, I'd have to say, has pretty much single-handedly relieved the pressure at the southern border. Did you see what happened yesterday? Mexico has National Guard units stationed along their southern border. Yesterday, they stopped a bunch of migrants who in turn attacked Mexican National Guard troops because they were angry that they wouldn't let them pass through Mexico as they always have to come to the U.S. That's the situation we're in today. It's really gotten that silly. In the meantime, the impeachment thing happens today at around 11:30 is when the Senate gets underway. They don't do things as early as the House. Remember, the whole impeachment inquiry over there, they're starting
at like
8 in the morning, yeah. Eastern time, or at least Central time. This won't get underway till about 11:30. So here's our plan here at 971 FM Talk. The Annie Fry Show is going to start early at 11. They're going to give you complete coverage of this, dipping in and out of it, because there are going to be opening statements. If you think the opening statements in the impeachment inquiry were grandstanding, wait till you experience this today. Can I just tell you that? Adam Schiff and his other 6 or 7 impeachment managers or prosecutors that have been sent over from the House are going to get 24 hours to present their case. What does that mean? That if they take all of it, it means that the 100 United States senators are going to have to sit in their seats. They're not allowed to say a word and listen to this one-sided barrage of a 24-hour-long opening statement for however long that takes. Now, that's not 24 broadcast hours. And there are portions of it in which cameras won't be allowed, apparently. I don't know which portion. 24 hours worth of potential testimony.
It's a long time.
Then the president's attorneys get an equal amount of time, at which point the senators have to sit there and listen for potentially two solid days worth of testimony. It's mind-boggling what's about to happen. Anyway, Annie's going to have special coverage for you starting at 11. It's going to carry through the afternoon. I'm sure the Glover Show is going to be covering some of that as well. We're going to get to all of that and more. Chris Arps, my guest, he's in studio coming up.
I've held my opinion on it for a very long time, but when you see the articles of impeachment that came out, I don't think it was within Dr. King's vision to have Americans drag through a process where the president is not going to be removed from office, is not being charged with bribery, extortion, high crimes or misdemeanors.
Yeah, how about that? I think Kellyanne Conway yesterday on Martin Luther King Day talking about the fact that Dr. King would have opposed this process. I like to think so. I mean, it's kind of hard to extrapolate. A lot of things, a lot of people have changed in the Democratic Party over that period of time since his murder. Let me get to my guest, please.
Who is the man that would risk his neck for his brother, man?
Chef.
Can you dig it?
Chris Arps in studio with us. How are you?
Ooh, well, that hurt.
Did that hurt?
Out of shape.
Oh, dancing? Catch my breath there, yeah.
You mean when you get up at 4 every morning, you're not doing exercises, calisthenics, that sort of thing?
Obviously not enough.
You're meditating. I didn't know if that was yoga or you're just doing planks or what you're doing exactly.
I did that one time. It was a 30-day thing where you did like 5 exercises. And it gradually increased.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
And then when it got to the final day, I was dreading it the night before.
I'm sure.
You know, you got to plank for like 3 minutes or something, which is like, ugh.
Wow.
I hate planks.
That's no joke.
I hate planks. Yeah. Ugh.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah.
That and leg raisers when I was playing JFL.
It's a killer. I'm telling you what. Hey, you heard that bite there off the top from Kellyanne Conway.
I heard probably about 60% of it.
Okay. Is that all?
Because I didn't have my headphones.
Oh, well, let's hit it again. Put on cut 3 again, please.
I've held my opinion on it for a very long time. But when you see the articles of impeachment that came out, I don't think it was within Dr. King's vision to have Americans drag through a process where the president is not going to be removed from office. Is not being charged with bribery, extortion, high crimes, or misdemeanors.
What do you think?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I would hope that that would be his reasoning. But if Dr. King would have lived and would have followed the lines of Jesse Jackson and some of the other civil rights leaders that are thinking of today, it would make me hard-pressed to believe that he would be against Donald Trump's impeachment.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I worry about. You know, yesterday I thought it was interesting. But play cut 2 real quick for me, please. So that is the president and the vice president with all the hooting and the hollering in the background visiting the MLK Memorial there in D.C. And I don't know if some of those people were protesting. Clearly, some of them were chanting USA. The fact that the president, the vice president went over there, you know, I thought it was a nice gesture. The president apparently also yesterday signed a bill that turns that park into a national park, which is, you know, not something to be overlooked. Of course, nobody on the left is going to give him any credit for that. I'm not suggesting it was his idea. But the point is, it got done. So I don't know. I don't know why.
Well, you know, Trump
likes
to be first at a lot of things, and to say that he was the president designated. I think it was MLK's boyhood home was designated a national monument. That's why I've said many times to my African American Democratic friends on the left, if they could get past their hatred of Donald Trump and look at it from a strategic political aspect, they could really get a lot from this president because he wants to be first. He does like to have his ego kind of stroked. And I think Donald Trump would love to spend a lot of money and have signing ceremonies with the Congressional Black Caucus in the White House, giving them a lot of what they want. I mean, he's supported criminal justice reform. He's given money to historically black colleges more than any president, I believe. So I just think they're missing a valuable opportunity.
Could you see Mad Max in the background of the Oval Office while the president's signing some legislation that she likes? I don't know if she'd do that or not.
No, because, I mean, the hatred is just so ingrained that they take it personal, and politics is a game of trying to get what you want for your constituents, and sometimes you have to deal with people that you don't like. But in order to get what you want, or some of what you want, to me, that's how the game is supposed to be played.
Yesterday was Martin Luther King Day. I'm going to get to more on this Virginia rally with you when we come back from the break. But one thing I want to point out. The mainstream media wanted to portray what happened yesterday as a bunch of white nationalist Klan members getting together in Virginia. That wasn't what it was at all. Listen to this guy. He was one of the many African-Americans who showed up yesterday. Cut number 15, please.
So why did you think it was important to drive those 2.5 hours?
I love this country. It's about the Second Amendment. It's about our ability to defend ourselves and our loved ones. It's not only a constitutional right issue, but it's also a civil right issue.
I heard another guy who said that he worked at a gun range part-time. He didn't want to see what they were trying to do in the legislature. Play cut 13 real quick, please.
And it's not fair to disarm somebody who has no criminal history, no ill intent. I feel like you can't legislate ill-minded people.
I thought those folks made a great point yesterday. Many of them speaking out because they were there on MLK Day.
Black people of all people understand the importance to be armed. What that last guy there was describing to me, it was Jim Crow days, taking your gun without any charges just because of we feel like it. It seems like you're reverting back to that.
Yeah, scary stuff. We'll talk more about that and the politics going on in Virginia with Chris's new article in Red State when we come back.
Right now, thousands of gun rights activists, white nationalists, militia groups, all swarming the Virginia state capitol.
There are a lot of people nervous about what's going to happen.
Authorities in Richmond are on high alert.
It could be a tense day.
Such polarization. What may happen in Virginia?
Several hate groups, supposedly some white nationalists.
White nationalists.
White nationalists.
White nationalists.
White nationalist groups.
Chicken crap.
Yeah. Didn't happen. They're swarming the capitol. There was a dude walking down the street. So the governor put a ban on weapons. He declared an emergency on Capitol grounds, but that only constituted the lawn in front of the Capitol building. So in downtown Richmond, just one street away, a lot of people brought their guns. One guy was carrying a Barrett 50 caliber down the street. He owned a gun shop. He was, and that's a heavy gun. Like, he's got it propped on his hip walking down the street. It's great. Anyway, point is, it was peaceful, as we knew it would be, unless it had been infiltrated by some left-wing progressive activists who wanted to act up on behalf of their own interests to make it look like the NRA-wearing guys were causing the problem. These are law-abiding citizens. That's the bottom line here. So, what happened in Virginia? Chris has got a great article on this in Red State. Is it redstate.com?
Redstate.com, yes, sir.
So go there and check it out, because there's hope, right? There is still a Santa Claus, Virginia, right?
There is still Claus. I think, first of all, Reverend Sharpton kind of spelled it out, is I think the Democrats' gun grab, their expansion of Medicaid and passing the ERA amendment, no offense to the ladies here, I think it's really going to turn off a lot of the moderate voters that are still in Virginia. And especially with this gun grabbing and what they're doing, those people, even though they're Democrats and lean, they still don't want their guns taken away. So I think that's a dramatic overreach. And I think the strength of the people that came out to the Capitol and protested shows that. Also, the article that I wrote that said, you know, there's still hope in Virginia. There is an African-American candidate that's running against Mark Warner. He's in a primary, but he's leading in the primary. But he's an ex-Georgetown basketball player. He's a naval reservist. He worked in the State Department. New poll, credible poll, came out, showed that he is 2 points behind the 18-year incumbent, Mark Warner. And for an incumbent to be under 50% at that stage of his career spells a lot of danger for him.
Yeah. But Warner's a smarmy character anyway. He's been one of the ones in the Senate kind of leading the push for impeachment.
And I think that's why he's in trouble. If you remember, Mark, he came into the Senate as a moderate. He's a millionaire. He made his money in the cellular business when it was in its infancy. And so he had plenty of money to fund his own campaigns. And so he came across as, I'm not a politician. I'm a businessman. Mm-hmm. I came here to solve problems. And like you said, he has morphed into one of the most partisan Democratic senators there is.
Well, and the other one is Tim Kaine. So here's what people need to understand about Virginia. If you've ever visited, it's a beautiful state, right? I've been to Virginia Beach, and it's a pretty place. It borders the southern edge of Washington, D.C., and if you look at it on an electoral map, it looks like the United States electoral map. It's all red with a couple of bright blue areas in the population centers. That's the only reason Virginia's legislature went blue, is they targeted the counties, the peripheral counties surrounding those population centers. They blitzed them with ads. A lot of them came from Mike Bloomberg's group, and they were able to occupy the state house by about 4,000 or 5,000 votes out of the entire state. That's how they did it. Don't doubt for a minute that they're not going to try the same thing here.
Yeah, the government bureaucracy has basically moved into those suburbs you were talking about and have taken them over. And so they're going to vote in favor of things that are going to keep them enriched and keep them in power. And they basically have taken over Virginia.
Yeah, that's great news, though. I mean, I'm really encouraged that there's somebody. And as you mentioned, he has to win the primary. Yeah. But in a hypothetical matchup right now, he's only behind 2 points I think, according to the poll I looked at, 23% are still undecided.
23 is undecided, yes. And apparently there was someone with high name recognition that was running in Virginia, and he's dropped out. So if you go to the article and look at the poll, you can see that the people that are in the primary with him have very low like, numbers where people know who they are.
Name recognition is down. That's good. Yeah. Well, so there's some information you didn't know about the state of Virginia. That's a good thing.
Yeah. And there's still hope, Virginia.
Yeah, there's still hope. That's true.
I came up with that title too, Mark.
Did you really?
Like that?
Yeah. I like it. There's still hope, Virginia. I borrowed it from you this morning.
New state slogan.
Good stuff. Yeah. Let me get to Lee on line one. Lee, thanks for calling in.
Is that my mom?
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Oh, I hope
my
not.
Mom's name.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm doing good, Lee. What's up?
Yeah, a point that I saw was the protesters, the anti-protesters that were going to be down there, they couldn't blend in like at Trump rallies and stuff, because if you didn't have a weapon strapped to your body, you were going to stand out big time.
Everybody had him walking down the street, that's for sure. About 5,000 or 6,000 people, though, were allowed onto the lawn. They had to go through security checkpoints to get in. They weren't allowed to carry their weapons up there onto the lawn. But a lot of those people were the ones that were planning to go into the Capitol building anyway, because it was technically lobby day. People weren't just there for the gun protest. There were a lot of people there who were there to protest and to go in and try to talk to their state representatives and say, listen, you can't do this. This is a ridiculous overreach and doesn't begin to address the problem, if you perceive there to be a problem, with illegals or criminals using guns. Not illegals, maybe illegals too, but yeah.
The peace sign on the T-shirt, I think, probably give them away too in the crowd.
That might give them away, or the hat, the pink hat, one of the two. That could have alerted people to.
I'd do a better job of disguise.
Yeah, true. You know what we haven't talked about since you've been here?
I know. What's that?
Eric Greitens.
Yes, the former governor, Eric Greitens.
Former governor Eric Greitens. Will he run for governor this year, in your opinion?
I don't think so. I think it makes good speculation and makes good talk on the interwebs. But I think when you look at the practicality of it and you see how all of this ended, there were still a lot of unresolved questions with the governor in terms of how he received his lists from his charity. The money that he got to advance for a book, he used it to pay a political consultant. And this book was from a university, I think.
I'm sorry, and where were the charges on that?
Well, there's political and then there's legal.
And what happened to all those?
And I think legally, you know, you can make a valid argument. I don't think you can win it. But I think politically it's a loser argument that's going to be brought up. I think if he entered the primary, I think it would destroy probably the Missouri Republican Party. And I think it would probably usher in Governor Galloway. Because Republican suburban women will never vote for Governor Greitens.
I want to say again
that vote.
What I've said from the beginning. This is a political witch hunt.
I'm just saying. Let's get to a break. We're going to continue this conversation because I got a few bones to pick with what Chris just said there. 314, how about you? What say you? Should Eric Greitens run for governor again? 314-241-9797.
Chris Clark's hate line.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
All right, Chris is smiling over there, I need to address this.
I don't know who gave the money.
Who gave the $120,000? But we may be on the verge of getting closer to that answer. So I posted this on my Facebook page, The Mark Cox Show on Facebook. For those of you who haven't read it, you need to go look at it, right? Because
no,
I did not just look at
Chris
Harris when I said that. But what I did was link to the article on John Solomon suing the prosecutor's office for sunshine law violations. Here's the sunshine law for those of you who aren't aware of it. If you contact a public agency and request information under the Sunshine Act, they have about, I don't know, 24 hours or 48 hours to respond to you. And then they have, within a reasonable amount of time, have to provide the information if they legally are responsible for providing that. He knows the rules. He went to her office back a year ago and started requesting information after during the Greitens case. And they just shut him down. They didn't respond in time. When they finally did respond, their excuse was, well, we have that. They didn't say we don't have the information. They said it's a closed case, so we don't have to provide it. The list of names he was asking for was any information and contact she had with Scott Faughn, Al Watkins, Stacey Newman, state representative, Jay Barnes, state representative, Jeffrey Smith of JES Holdings. If she had contact during the Greitens probe with any of those people who had no standing in the city of St. Louis and nothing to do with the allegations of invasion of privacy, that's the missing link. That lets people see the level to which this witch hunt against Greitens went. Because who's Jeff Smith? Jeff Smith runs JS Holdings. He received tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars since the late 80s when the low-income housing tax credit program went into effect. And when Greitens stopped it, that's when everything blew up. That's when there were allegations against him. That suddenly was when the criminal charges happened. People need to understand all the pieces that fell into place to force the resignation of Eric Greitens. That's why I think when the story comes out, he's going to run again.
But those things don't change the things that he did wrong.
What did he do wrong except have an affair that was bad mistake,
Mark,
but it had nothing to do with his governing?
The politics of you allegedly stealing your charity's donor list and using it to raise money, and you lied about it. It's not – okay, I'll give you, it's not criminal. The politics of it. Mark,
nobody cared.
People care because when you came into office, you were the outsider coming to clean it up.
Here,
and then it came to be that you're just as dirty as the people that you campaigned against.
But don't,
and here's proof of it. And then you're going to come back. What is your platform?
But don't use the D word. Don't use the D word there. Here's the thing about it. If I built a multi-million dollar charity, right?
You don't have.
If I built a multi-million dollar charity, if I did. Like he did with the Mission Continues, and then I went out to run for political office, you can bet that the people I've made contact with who used to donate to my charity, I would absolutely be contacting each and every one of them to find out if they also believe in my political platform.
Why didn't he just say that in the first place, and then it came out that he lied?
Well, how do you know that he didn't do that?
Well, he obviously lied. He lied about it when they asked him originally about it.
For all I know,
that's
his defense.
If you didn't do anything wrong, why are you lying?
The point is, I don't think the voters are going to hold that against you running for governor. You're suddenly, for the first time in your life, a politician. You talk to me all the time about the fact that politics is about money. If somebody's not funding
what about taking the money that you had from a university for a book advance, money from a not-for-profit organization that you're supposed to use to help you write a book, and you are paying your campaign manager with it? May not be legal, I don't know, but Mark, the politics
Was he accused of any wrongdoing in that?
Mark, it looks terrible. It's not a question.
It doesn't matter what it looks like. The point is, he was railroaded out of office.
I think it is illegal.
And I think that he's probably contemplating running again if this story gets out. I just don't know when it's going to get out is the question.
Eric Greitens.
If John Solomon does some big story on this, like it looks like he's trying to do here.
The last thing Eric Greitens wants is all of the stuff that I've just mentioned here that you are ignoring to come roaring back up, which is what it is. And Nicole Galloway's licking her chops, measuring the drapes on the governor's office if this happens.
I got a 20 spot on that. What do you think?
I don't want to
put your money on the table, mister. Put your money on the table. Chris Arps, thanks, my friend.
Kill me betting money.
Hey, stay tuned for special coverage starting at 11 of the impeachment trial. We'll see you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.